Well, good morning again, brothers and sisters. As Phil testified and read us the word regarding the fig tree and the times that are changing, the times that the Lord is moving, and He is. There is much darkness and much hatred that is stirred up. Enemies of the Lord are trying to maintain and control, and it doesn't matter. He is the King of Kings. It's not He will be, He is. And He governs now. And one of the things that struck me, preparing for another lesson, and I shared this particular verse, and it has continued to stand out to me. In the book of John, chapter 6, in verse 29, Jesus is responding to a question from the religious men of the time, trying to understand, raise an argument, I guess, or to understand what they're not doing and should be doing, because Jesus has admonished them. This is right after the feeding of the 5,000, and he tells them that they are not seeking the bread of heaven. They are seeking the bread of this world, and they need to seek the bread of heaven. And they ask, well, what shall we do? What do we have to do? What work do we have to do? How can we earn? What are the things that we can testify to, and the scriptures will tell us? What do you say that we have to do? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is verse 29, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." Now, James, in the epistle of James, he speaks of works and faith, works and believing, that if you believe, even the enemies of the Lord believe in Him, and they shudder. So this belief is something that is very important. This is different from recognizing that Jesus lived 2,000 plus years ago, and He was in Jerusalem. He walked, and He was born in Bethlehem, and so forth. It's not just about the historical facts. It's belief in who He is. Who is He? And how are we going to know? How do we do this? It says there's work involved. And there are works which come forth from knowing Him. I want to read, just to set the tone, again, very familiar verses out of Revelation. Sorry, I'm giving you a workout and didn't give you any warning at all. Revelation chapter 5. There are several declarations that are being made here. I'm looking now down at John is witnessing what's going on in the throne room of heaven. And the book has come forth. It needs to be opened, and those in heaven, the elders and the angels, and they fell down before the Lamb, having each one a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. This is what I want to pay attention to. Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, and the number of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who that was slain to receive power and riches." We sang this earlier. To receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. He is all in all. Continuing verse 13. And every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. Jesus is the Son of God. And we struggle to understand. We try to understand in many ways. And we gather together and we come to understanding. We hear words like the Spirit gave to Phil to share. And testimonies like Jimmy shared. And like Jay. We hear about him who was and is to come. He is the one in whom we believe. He is the one who has been sent by God. Unfortunately, we are tempted because of how we were born in this world, born sinners. We are tempted to try to work out in our minds things about Jesus. And one of the things I think that we get stuck on, and I'm saying this because I know I get stuck on it, and I hope you won't be stuck on it, is that there are events. There are miraculous things that Jesus did. There are miraculous things that we see. People being healed or people dying, things that the Lord has done. He enables things to happen. And we want to measure by those things. We want to measure. It's not that they aren't part of the testimony of Jesus, but the testimony of Jesus is enormous, bigger than we can understand. Worthy is the Lamb. In the throne room of heaven, that's being spoken, all creatures are calling upon him, trusting in him, waiting when all things will be, the book will be opened and all things will be made new. So Jesus tells the Pharisees or those that are questioning him, teachers of the law, and that this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Well, just as James warns us, it is not about recognizing that he's in this book, that we see him. We do see him in the book. He does tell us of himself. But the thing I would like to try to share as a comfort to us is that it has been his intention. It has been the intention of the Godhead, from before the foundations of the world, that we would, that Jesus and his people, his bride, would walk together and by our fellowship, we will see him. We will come to know him. We will come to know what he is doing and what is his intent. That when we see the darkness surrounding us, we are not afraid, because he is greater than the darkness. He has overcome the world. And that's one of the blessings that I enjoy so much with you all, is seeing and hearing the testimony of Jesus over and over again. And sometimes there are things that are similar and there are things that are very different. Our experiences are different. We've lost loved ones. We've had marriages. We've had children. Children have been raised, from little ones to adults. We see the work of the Lord and the handiwork of the Lord. We saw him, the ministry in Russia. I mean, it was absolutely amazing, outstanding to see what the Lord provided, that people in Russia that we would see what he's doing and that he is able. So, what I'm trying to get to is that we are not, he is not seeking for us to accomplish many things. He is seeking to accomplish many things in us and through us. It's not our effort. It's not our performance, because we can't. We fall short. But he wants us to be with him. All right. What I've said about, and I'm trying to get back to now, is that the Lord and the Godhead intended throughout, and it's throughout the whole, throughout the scripture, intended that we would be attached to him, that he would be, as Ed shared on Nehemiah, that he would be in us and we would be in him. That we might understand that and know him and trust in him, that we would abide in him. And our brother Paul has been sharing about Jacob, and Jacob is all about walking with the Lord. And yet we find many, the scripture tells us there are many shortcomings in what Jacob had done. But he walked with Jesus, and Jesus walked with him for decades, changed who he was, touched his heart, made him a seer of God. Wonderful story. And it goes, I mean, there's just so much of it about Jacob. And Paul will share more, and it's a tremendous example. But I just want to give you a few more examples. Who was the first one to walk with God? Not a difficult question. It was Adam. It was Adam. He walked with God. The scripture that brings tears to my eyes I'm gone far enough. In Genesis 3:8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God. This is, I am the Lord God, walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He was coming and had been coming daily, constantly, to have fellowship with them. That was the desire of his heart, the desire of their hearts. That they would be able to share with him and to know and to see. And God's heart was broken. I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and so I hid myself. Adam walked with God, and God still loves him, cared for him. He failed miserably. And yet, God was with him. God continued to be with him. God sent him out of the garden, and he was not without the Lord. God walked with him. God shared his heart and life with him. And yet, Adam fell short. Adam and Eve both. Well, let's go on. Who's next? In Genesis chapter 5, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. We don't know how long Adam walked with God. It doesn't tell us. We don't know the time frame. But it would have been rich and full and, I believe, lengthy. Enoch walked with God for 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah, and he had other sons and daughters. And so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch walked with God. God, he knew. God spoke to him. God, they walked together. I believe when Enoch didn't understand something, he spoke, Lord, what does this mean? Help me. What about this problem or that thing? I want to know. All around him, people were looking to something else. They weren't drawing close to God, but Enoch did. And he did. I hesitate to use the word strolled, but I see them together. Two friends sharing, seeing, hearing about what happened in the past, what God's intent was, what he was going to do in the future. In Hebrews, verse 5 of chapter 11, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He walked with God. He spoke with God. God told him things he needed to know, told him things he wanted him to know, assured him that the darkness would not overwhelm the light. Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord was sorry that he had, verse 6. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth and was grieved in his heart. And the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, and from man to animals, to creeping things, to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. His heart had been broken by how they wouldn't come to him. They wouldn't trust in him. They wouldn't believe, even though he made himself abundantly clear and plain. Verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. That's how he became blameless. He walked with God. He was righteous because God accepted his heart as that turned towards him. Verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, and for all flesh had corrupted their way upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, verse 13, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make, and it goes on to describe how he shall make it. But the point is, God, he had walked with God. He knew God's voice. He knew what he was saying to him. And he trusted him. He did something. There's no evidence of what the things that went on in Enoch's life, other than that he walked with God. I'm sure there were many things, just like us. And the Lord speaks to us. The Lord calls us to do things. He doesn't want us to make it up. He wants us to walk with him, to know his heart, and to be, as Yvonne says, to speak when she can't help herself. She wants to, people to know the Lord Jesus, and she speaks of him. Hebrews 11, verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes from God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. He walks with us. He wants us to know. He wants us to believe. He wants us to trust him. And that he will reward us because we draw close to him. He, you know, we have the table. He gave us the Lord's table to share, to remember. Not remember about, remember who he is. And to call upon him and to remember that his body was broken for us and that his blood was poured out for us. That's who he is. He wants us to know. He doesn't want us to wonder and worry and be fearful, to be concerned about what is happening. He wants us to be in tune, in union with him, and to watch what he is doing and to join with him in prayer, join with him that the things he has intended for Israel will happen despite what we see. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. I wondered about that use of the word condemned, and I don't know that all the translations use it. But it says Noah condemned the world. He didn't. He was a testimony of what God wanted to have. He wanted to have a relationship, and they didn't. That condemned them. They saw it. They couldn't miss it. God would not leave them without eyes to see it, but they refused. And the earth was destroyed. So, we have Enoch, walked with God, and he was not. We have Noah, he walked with God, and God called upon him to build the salvation of the creation and of man who believed in him, who trusted in him. What about Abraham? Abraham is a favorite character of mine, a person I want to meet in heaven, and I look forward to seeing. And we're familiar with this. Abraham's brother Haran, Terah, his father, they left Ur of the Chaldees, and they went to Haran. And Haran, his brother, died in the presence of his father in the land of his birth. Abraham and Nahor took wives for themselves, and the name of Abram's wife was Sarah. The name of Nahor's wife was Milcah, and the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and Iscah. And Sarah was barren, she had no child. And Terah took Abram, his son, and Lot, his son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah, his daughter-in-law, and his son Abram's wife. And they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. God spoke first to Terah and to Abraham, and they left Ur and they went to Haran. And the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So Abraham has already walked years with the Lord. God called him. God knew his heart. Doesn't say a lot about what went on before they left Ur, but they were wealthy. They had herds. They had family, a large congregation that traveled. Now, chapter 12, verse 1, now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of earth shall be blessed. Abram is being taken on a journey, walking with God. I don't know how long that took. I think it would probably, the journey overall would have taken more than a year. He was moving a lot of people and a lot of sheep, a lot of goods and things. They couldn't go very fast. They weren't riding in desert buggies. So Abram, verse 4, chapter 12. Abram went forth as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. Now Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Down to verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built an altar there before the Lord who had appeared to him. And he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent and with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on and continued into the Negev. The Lord was with Abram. With Abraham. He called him forth. He walked with him. He brought him. He he expressed his heart to him and caused Abraham to build altars to sacrifice to him. Not because it was a law and that he needed to do it and that it didn't mean anything to him. He understood God's heart. He saw what God was doing. He knew that God would protect him and care for him and take him to where he would needed to go. And they came to Canaan, and they passed through the land. I've already read this. They passed through the land as far as Shechem to the Oak of Moriah. Now the Canaanite was in the land. Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, went to Haran, stayed until his father died, and he left, and he as a sojourner, and he went south into Canaan. And Canaan was still not ready for his people, not ready for Abraham's righteousness, the righteousness of believing in God. I share all these specific walkings with God because it's important to see that Jacob, that Adam, that Enoch, that Noah, that Abraham, all came to know God because he drew them to himself and revealed himself to them. And they had opportunity to walk with him and to rejoice in him and to see what he was doing and to be glad because of what he was accomplishing and that his purpose would be made whole and that he would overcome the darkness. Just as today, he will overcome the darkness. And as we learn, or it's written in Hebrews about Abraham, I did have a bookmark at one time. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed, going out of to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, because the Canaanite was still there, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Paul emphasized last week that God protected him from Laban. He was abused, but God did not allow him to be harmed. Abraham walked hundreds, maybe thousands of miles to get to the promised land, trusting that the one who was walking with him, the one that he spoke to, the one that he heard from, that he understood to be God, was leading him, caring for him, just like us. He is walking with us, and each one his own path. The Lord is able to lead us, and each one his own failings and shortcomings. And he is able to deal with our transgressions. We are forgiven. We are righteous because of what he has done. Well, all these seem to be Old Testament examples, and I'll just use one more. The 12 disciples, they literally walked with the Lord for 3 years. They spoke with him. He told them what was going to happen. He told them what he needed them to do. He gave them power to accomplish things. And he kept them when they didn't understand why something worked and now it doesn't. He did what needed to be done, what he wanted to have happen, so that there would be a testimony on the earth. Just like he used Jacob, just like he used the children of Israel, just like he used Enoch and Noah and Abraham. The Lord is walking with us. Trust him. Believe that he is going to do what he has said he will do. We are forgiven. We are fragile. But he takes care of us. And he has overcome all who would harm us and keeps us from harm. Let us trust him as best we can and realize that your best is not good enough. But he will make up for our lack. And he always has, example after example, his desire from the beginning, why he went to all the effort, was that he would have someone to walk with him and to hear him and to share and to be blessed by him. So we are blessed. Even though we see things not as we want them to be, he will accomplish what needs to be done and he wants to have done. He will bring those to him who will come, and he comforts and brings us all in. Someday that scene, is it going on now? I don't know, but the seals are going to be broken. And he is going to reclaim the earth. A new heaven and a new earth will come down out of heaven and come down from his throne. And we will be with him forever and forever. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful and that you love us and that you care for us in every way, that you have promised that you would feed your people and bless your people, that you are the bread of life. Lord, you are the way and the truth and the life, and we walk with you and we cannot get lost. Help us, Lord. Lord, we desire to be in your presence, and you have made it possible. Thank you, Lord. Help us to trust in that at all times. Amen.